Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. More than 500,000 Americans are arrested each year for smoking pot. These are ordinary citizens like you and me whose lives and careers are being needlessly destroyed. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
And distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back to the Audio Stash today. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org. Today on the Audio Stash, we're going to hear our weekly segment, Government at Work, that focuses in on the different state legislative reform efforts across the country. 2007 is turning into a monumental year for local reform efforts, with hemp, medical marijuana, and decriminalization measures proposed in almost a dozen states. Make sure to do your part for marijuana law reform. It's easy to get involved, folks. Just visit the Take Action Center of the normal.org website to have your voice heard and make a positive action to assist marijuana law reform. All you have to do is call, email, or fax on over a letter to your local state representatives. You would be amazed, folks, at how easy it is to get involved, and it really does work. Next up today, it's time for Government at Work. This week on Government at Work, we're focusing in on the medical marijuana legislation making its way through the Illinois State Senate. Joining us today is George Pappas of Ideal Reform in Illinois. He helped craft this legislation. George, welcome to the Audio Stash today.
Great, thank you. It's great to be here.
Thanks again for joining us today, George. Tell us what SB 650 would do in Illinois.
Well, I guess one important thing to recognize about the Illinois bill is that it will be, when it passes, it will be one of the most progressive bills in the country, in the sense that the state will take a proactive role in regulating a system of dispensaries. That's never been done anywhere in the country before, and Illinois is excited to be the first.
And how would those dispensaries work there?
Well, essentially, the only guidelines that have really been established at this point is that the city of Chicago will be allowed to operate 15 dispensaries, and then each city outside of Chicago will be allowed one if they have a population over 50,000. Now, with regard to other sorts of rules and regulations, the state's going to create a committee of state lawmakers, public health officials, and advocacy groups such as Ideal Reform to look into exactly how will these dispensaries be regulated.
And George, tell us what provisions would be for patients and their possession of cannabis.
Well, essentially, patients will be allowed to possess up to 2.5 ounces of usable cannabis, and they'll be allowed to grow up to 12 plants. Now, The bill currently outlines conditions such as cancer, chemotherapy patients, HIV, hepatitis C, glaucoma, or other illnesses that that produce similar conditions as those ailments. So, you know, patients with those ailments will be protected, and then the state will allow for other patients who have other illnesses that there is evidence that cannabis may treat. These patients will be able to petition the state to allow their condition to be protected as well.
Now, with this progressive model, what was the inspiration for this bill?
Well, the inspiration of, you know, it came from the successful bills that have been passed in Rhode Island, that have been passed in Hawaii. And, you know, primarily there is a little bit of uniqueness because of the dispensary operation. You know, we're excited to look at some of the successful models in of dispensary operation in California, and just to kind of build on the successes to create a real program in Illinois that's going to be, you know, controlled and respected by the people in Illinois.
So with provisions for 15 dispensaries in Chicago, George, there is a sense here that this bill is going to serve a significant number of patients in Illinois.
That's right. That's right. I mean, there have been some indications that, you know, up to 350,000 patients in California are using, and there's, you know, there's no reason why we shouldn't think that, you know, adjusted for population, a similar percentage of patients will be using in Illinois. You know, there are a number of patients out there that are already using, thousands and thousands of patients that are already using, that are kind of using in the closet. And this is going to be a benefit for all of them. And there are, you know, just as many patients out there who could be using if they knew and understood that cannabis is a viable option for their illness.
So it sounds like, George, that lawmakers are getting to know the medical marijuana issue.
Oh, sure, sure. I mean, this issue is no longer on the fringe anymore. I mean, physicians, doctors, caretakers, advanced practice nurses, people in the medical field all over the country know about medical cannabis because, you know, cannabinoid-derived therapies is an increasingly, it's a market of increasing focus for pharmaceutical companies, for researchers, and it's pretty well established and accepted, as you say, by medical practitioners all across the country, and especially in Illinois, that cannabis is a helpful treatment for some people.
And how about the public there? What's the general public's attitudes about medical marijuana?
Well, you know, we've done public opinion polls that that show broad support, consistent with polls that have been, you know, done in other parts of the country. I mean, anywhere from, you know, low 60s to high 70s, and almost 80% of the public supports medical cannabis. And, you know, for instance, when I started working full-time on this issue, on the issue of medical cannabis specifically, I didn't even realize how big this issue really was. You know, I talk with people all the time at coffee shops, in line, at checkout counters, you know, at restaurants, at my waiters at restaurants who, you know, when they find out what I'm doing, they, you know, they come up with a story of their own. They say, you know, oh, you know, my aunt had, you know, cancer and she used cannabis, or, you know, like my cousin had multiple sclerosis and they used cannabis. And I have, that's given me this indication that, like I said before, this issue is just so much bigger than so many people realize.
George, is some of this also that residents there can look at other states like California and Oregon and want that level of access in their home state?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that's really interesting to me is that when I talk to people about what it is I do and about this bill that's going through the legislature, some people are surprised and think that Illinois already has a bill, which we do, but they think that it's already legal for patients, and they're surprised to learn that patients can still get arrested. So, I mean, I think that indicates that people are well past the concern of, oh, well, you know, medical cannabis, is it good or is it bad? I mean, if that was ever a concern, people really understand that it's not going to change society in any way negatively, and it's only going to help people. And, you know, once you bring up the issue, yeah, people are much more comfortable in talking about this sort of thing once they realize how far this bill has, this issue has progressed, both in Illinois and nationwide.
And George, tell us where this medical marijuana legislation is right now. We're going to speak with Julie Falco here in just a couple of minutes, who testified before the state Senate committee hearing on this, but I know it did pass that committee.
That's right, it passed the committee. And actually, Chris, the bill is scheduled to be voted on today for the third reading in the Senate. So we're mustering all our support and trying to get people in all of our contacts in Illinois to contact our legislators to tell their legislators to vote yes on Senate Bill 650. And if it passes today, which we're very optimistic that it will, then it'll go to the House and begin the same process as it did in the Senate through the House. It'll go to the Rules Committee first, and then it'll go directly to the Public Health Committee before it goes to the floor of the House. But we're very optimistic. If we can pass the Senate, we'll be riding on a lot of really great momentum going into the House, and that will give the House more of a reason to vote for it when they know that it's okay that, the Senate has approved it as well.
George, this is a very exciting time for this bill, and I want to thank you for taking time to join us here today.
Thank you very much, Chris.
George Pappas is with Ideal Reform in Illinois. We have links to them at normalaudiostash.com. We're continuing to cover the Illinois medical marijuana legislation here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash today. Next up, we'll speak with Julie Falco from Illinois Normal and Ideal Reform. Julie is an MS patient who's used edible cannabis with much success to treat her condition. Julie testified before the Illinois legislature on behalf of this legislation, SB 650. Julie, welcome back to the Audio Stash today.
Thanks, Chris, for having me.
Thanks again for joining us here today, Julie. Now, you are asked to testify on behalf of this medical marijuana legislation. So tell us about that experience. What is it like to go before your state representatives and tell the story of your life, really, as well as advocate for others?
It's really an amazing experience all around. It's stressful, it's exciting, it's intense. We had headed down there the night before just to get, just get situated and not to overtax my body per se. And so good thing we did, because we worked out, you know, pretty much what I was going to say the next day. And when we got down there, Senator Culleton, he's reintroduced the bill. He was also going to have a Dr. Chris Fitchner, he was going to speak, and a gentleman, John Walker, had driven down to talk about his mom and how she had passed from cancer. She only, when she was diagnosed, from the diagnosis to when she had passed, it was only 2 months. And a lot of that time, they were struggling just to get her to eat. So he was going to, you know, testify to the account that this should have been available for him to try to give to his mother to get her to have an appetite. And once we got down there and got to the Capitol, you know, schedules got rearranged, kind of thing, strategies got changed, and they finally said, Julie, you're going to be the only one to testify, because they thought I was the strongest one, and boy, man, was the pressure on. So Not only was that, just trying to keep my body in check and not break out into shaking, and again, having my noise-canceling headphones, which I even got a comment from somebody that they thought I might be disrespecting the Senate by wearing noise-canceling headphones to keep down the din and volume in the room. So I had to say that to the Senate. I was having no disrespect to the Senate. I was just trying to keep my body under control so that I could testify. So the pressure was on, but I guess they just thought that the opposition was going to be pretty weak, and so they just wanted to keep it really tight and simple and just have me speak. And I just pretty much told them, you know, my story again, my situation with MS for over 20 years now, and the symptoms I've had and the pharmaceuticals I've taken that have not worked. And then I just kind of told them. I just went out and said, "Look, you know, I'm an MS patient. Isn't that really funny? Because, you know, I'm a patient, and I have patience, and I have been so patient. And there should be an award for being such a patient. But I'd really give that award to Jonathan Magby. And I told them about Jonathan's story." Who was the gentleman that was a quadriplegic in D.C. that died, 27 years old, because, you know, he said he wouldn't stop smoking cannabis because it made him feel good, and it help ease his painful symptoms of his paralysis. And I told the Senate committee for talking about awards here, I go, this part would be X-rated, and I asked them to just imagine this in their heads, that Mr. Magby was incapable of moving without the aid of a motorized chin operator wheelchair, and he required a tracheotomy tube and a pulmonary pacemaker, and at night a ventilator in order to breathe. And he consequently contracted pneumonia by being in jail. And since he only had, he was only able to speak above a whisper, he was forced to move his wheelchair around in his cell in order to get the attention of his incarcerators. And that movement apparently irritated the jailers, and the next day they locked him inside an infirmary cell without access to any kind of panic button, and they did not check on him until the next morning when they found him dead in his soaked in his own urine. Now, I told the committee that this terrifies me, because, hey, this could be me. I could be thrown in the cell. I could have needs that will be unmet by my jailers, and yes, this terrifies me. And I told them about a woman I've been talking with that now that I've opened myself up to this, I get all these emails from patients, and there's a woman that was diagnosed with ALS just this past January. She's 56 years old, and she's terribly frustrated at the lack of treatment for her disease, which has been symptomatic since 2004. Now, if you remember that date, 2004, that's when she started developing a dropped foot, weakness in her legs. She has cramping in her arms and hands, excessive saliva, swallow problems, speech issues. And ALS is a fatal neurodegenerative disorder. And more than half of ALS patients die within 2.5 years following the onset of symptoms. So it's 2007. And she started having symptoms in 2004. So that's just shocking to see that she could be facing a death sentence. And she says that she knows that ALS patients from around the world and the U.S. are still surviving due to cannabis treatment. Oh, and I read these things, and it's so upsetting. And she says, I am currently experiencing significant progress of this hideous disease. And before I die, my fully functional mind will watch and feel all my voluntary muscles wither and atrophy. And I will be absolutely and completely helpless to care for myself. So, of course, her motivation with this bill and the involvement in this is one of self-preservation. And all she has is hope. So I had to speak her story because it's not about me anymore. It's become way bigger than I am. Of course, and we all know this, it's way bigger than us that this is going on. People are dying. And then I told the committee members about another patient. It's very familiar to my situation, another MS patient who's also had it for 20 years, over 20 years. She was diagnosed in her 20s just like I was. And throughout those years, she's tried every single procedure suited for MS treatment, but she went so far as to get operations to burn the nerves that contribute to the pain, which I didn't do. I didn't experience that, but of course it debilitated her more. And I can't even imagine going through all that. And she's done all the muscle relaxants, the antidepressant medications, such as Valium, all these things. 40 milligrams of Oxycontin daily she was taking. And she believes that taking all these medications, doing all these operations, has made her MS worse because of going through that. And she's been experiencing muscle deterioration and spinal deterioration. And she read about this, about the Illinois Medical Cannabis Act. And she sent me a bunch of questions because she doesn't know what fully this means or where she needs to go from there. And she's wondering what would I truly be exempt from arrest for medical use, or is there a list of doctors I can go to apply as a research patient? So all these questions, she's not even using. She's just wondering, can I get this medicine to try to help ease her pain? And I just told the committee, I said, you know, this is such a heavy burden to bear for anybody. But I get these because now I want to help these people to try to get this to be passed because it's just bigger than I am, and I'm glad I have the voice and I can talk to them. And to read these emails and go down there to Springfield to try and make them understand, and I said to them, we need this medicine. My doctor said I should have this medicine. And President Bush, I know this is going around. I've been using this as a poster since January, the day after he spoke this at the State of the Union, where he says, in all we do, we must remember that the best health care decisions are made not by governments and insurance companies, but by patients and their doctors. Quote, George W. Bush, State of the Union, 2007. Okay, hello, amen. Give me my medicine. My doctor says it, so he agrees. So in all this, because some of the committee members were there last year, and a lot of their issues that they brought up that had nothing to do with patients, you know, we talk about the children, we talk about the problems in California. They had issues with law enforcement. They had issues with re-elections. You name it. They talk about all these other things except the core issue. Well, this is the core issue, what I just told you today. And I said to them, I go, it's not about the children or me or the problems in California or me. You're not going to decide. It's not about the fear of what some people think or me. It's about me and a plant. Basically, my medicinal aloe vera, if you will, to soothe my pain. That's what this is about. And right now, I told them it's about you, the committee members, and your heart, and what you can live with. So I left them with that. And there's more support as we go on with this. A lot of the committee members, there was a few of them that were there last year, so they heard a lot of that testimony from me last year in a different way. I spoke more about my own story. But this time I have got story after story to bring them. And if I'm the only one sitting up there and they're going to choose me, I have to speak out for these patients that are suffering. They can't even come to meetings that we have. We have a medical cannabis working group meeting going on in Illinois, and they can't even make it to that. And so we try to accommodate every way we can to keep in communication with them as we move forward with this. So it was an intense day. I went home pretty much exhausted, shaking, nerve-wracked, but I have to keep doing it as long as I can.
We're with Julie Falco of Illinois Normal and Ideal Reform. Julie is an MS patient who uses edible cannabis to treat her condition, and she did testify on behalf of SB 650 in Illinois, the proposed medical marijuana bill, last week. Julie, is there a sense that lawmakers want to grab hold of this issue now and do something positive with it?
I feel it's moving towards that because the more we do outreach in the communities and make this more visible and gain that support within even, you know, within even down in Springfield in the Capitol. It's like they can't deny it. They can't deny what's going on around the country. And they are willing to work it out to move it forward. So there are times, obviously, they've looked into this bill and made some amendments and have agreed on things. So the feeling right now that I feel that we've talked about going forward is we're gaining more support as we go, and we just got to keep it pushing forward. So hopefully we can go down and meet some more of these legislators now that it's going to the full Senate floor and, just get some more support as we go.
Also, Julie, did you get a sense that there is this growing sophistication on the part of lawmakers, that they are pretty aware of medical marijuana and its benefits now?
I think they're very aware of it, and I think they're getting more educated because the more we go down there and talk to them, and provide them with, you know, copies of studies, latest medical studies. We use the normal, from National Normal, the book that on endocannabinoids, emerging therapies. We've been passing those out. So we're educating them, too. So they're getting to look at it differently instead of the same old story, you know, the same old quote-unquote marijuana story, if you want to say. So they're getting educated, too. So they know they can't deny that this isn't, you know, this isn't percolating all over the place.
And Julie, finally today, how can our listeners get involved with getting SB 650 passed?
Definitely look up www.idealreform.org or www.illinoisnormal.org. We both have, you know, sign up for our emails, become a member, get involved, volunteer. We could use all that support. We also have information on the website of how you can contact your senators or, you know, we have links to preformed letters that you can send out and phone numbers to call senators, representatives, whoever, everybody in your district. There's all that information there.
Well, Julie, it sounds like an absolutely wonderful bill to be involved in, and we encourage folks to take some action today. We'll have links at normalaudiostash.com. Julie, I want to thank you again for joining us here again today.
Hey, you're very welcome, Chris. Glad to be back.
Julie Falco is a member of Illinois Normal and Ideal Reform. We have links to both at normalaudiostash.com. Julie joined us this summer here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. We have links to her past interview in the Normal Audio Stash archive. We got some Chicago blues for you here today to go along with the Illinois medical marijuana legislation bill. Coming up for you, here's Mighty Joe Young. We found this at the Independent Online Distribution Alliance. Mighty Joe Young with Take Over Chicago. We have links to him on our website today, normalaudiostash.com.
I'm gonna take over Chicago, play this town the blues. I'm gonna take over Chicago, play this town. I'll be sawdust on the floor, and we gonna have a ball. Don't wear no shirt and tie, just put on your overalls. Yeah, we're gonna take over Chicago, play this town. Together, come down to Mary Jo's. There'll be sodas on the floor, and we gon' have a ball. Don't wear no shirt and tie, just put on your overalls. You're gonna take on Chicago, play this time.
Mighty Joe Young here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Today, some Chicago blues. You've been listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. Podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.